I know at the close of this service, we're going to ordain Brother Jacob Mock, and we're also going to ordain Brother Samuel Freed. I was talking with Brother Samuel here at the close of service this morning, and asked him to do something in the ordination service. He said, I'd be glad to, but I've not been ordained. And so I said, well, we're going to take care of that tonight, all right? He'd been here long enough, and if we didn't have confidence in him, if we ain't got confidence in him by now, we're never going to have none, but we do, and so we're going to ordain both of them. You know, ordination services, we're an independent fundamental Baptist church, so you can do an ordination service anyway that independent church decides to do that, and so we'll do that at the end of the service here in just a few moments. But having said all that, I'll tell you, I was praying for services this morning, and this morning the Lord spoke to my heart. There was a message he gave me this week in revival meeting, and he spoke to my heart this morning about preaching it tonight. And of course, my first reaction was, I said, well, Lord, we're going to have ordination at the close of that service. But you know what? That's what I love about coming here. You don't never know what God's going to do. Amen. And I tell you, he put this on my heart. Doesn't fit. Doesn't have anything to do. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it has absolutely nothing to do with ordination service, but it's the sermon tonight. So it's what God wants us to preach. Acts chapter 20, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. And we'll be brief tonight in what we're going to give you, and then ordination service will be brief as well. Very brief tonight, in fact. But Acts chapter number 20, and look with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eunicus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Father, I do pray tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us and touch us these next few moments. I pray, God, that you'd give us liberty. I pray you'd speak to every heart and do what needs to be done. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice with me in verse number 7, look at this phrase here where the Bible says, and upon the first day of the week. And we know that the first day of the week is Sunday. And I want you to notice what happens on this Sunday. Notice the Sunday service in verse number 7. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together. So they came together for the manner of worship on Sunday. You know, it's amazing. 2,000 years later, and that's what his disciples are still doing. We're coming together for worship on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, on Resurrection Day. And so there is the Sunday service. And then notice the Sunday speaker here in verse number 7. The Bible said that Paul preached unto them. Paul, this is his farewell message. He's about to depart from them. And so there's a special preacher that day, the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't you like to have been in that Sunday service when Paul was doing the preaching? Amen? And so we see the Sunday service, and we see the Sunday speaker. But notice the Sunday sermon. Amen. The Bible said that Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, how would you like to went to church on that Sunday? Amen. I'm talking about Paul started preaching and he didn't stop. Amen. He preached past 12 o'clock. In fact, he took them all the way up to midnight. That wouldn't have went over in a Methodist church. Wouldn't have went over in half the Baptist churches. Amen. But I want to tell you, Paul, he had a message, and Paul delivered that message. I think too many times when we go to church, we get too time conscious. Isn't that right? But when we go to the house of God, we ought to have our mind on the Word of God. And Paul preached. An amazing thing about this text is that nobody complained in this text about the long preaching. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But I want you to notice not only the Sunday sermon, but notice the Sunday sanctuary. In verse number 8, the Bible said there were many lights in the upper chamber. chamber where they were gathered together. And so the early church did not have a designated place of worship, a central place of worship like we do here as far as a church facility and a church building. But the Bible said they met from house to house. And they would oftentimes go in the upper chamber or the upper room, for it was the largest room in the house. And so here they are, and they've went to this house, and they've turned the upper chamber into a sanctuary. You know, anytime God's people gather together in God's name around the Word of God, that's what'll happen. Amen. It'll take that place and turn it into a sanctuary. I mean, you could go to the Colonnade today, and it would not have been what it was last week. There'd been a lot of times we would have summer trips, and we'd take Brother Barnes with us, and we've met in a house, we've met outside, we've met all kinds of places. Even met an Amish home one time, had a bunch of strangers from who knows where, but you know what? It turned into a sanctuary. I'm telling you, when there's singing and there's preaching and there's saints and the people of God and the Spirit of God shows up, that's what makes the difference. Amen. And so we see the Sunday sanctuary, but notice this Sunday seat here as the Bible highlights one seat in verse number 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eunicus. And so we see this seat here. This seat is important in this text because of the place of it. You know that it is a dangerous place where this young man is sitting. And we'll see that here in just a moment. I'm telling you, where you sit in church is important. Somebody's got to sit in the front. Somebody's got to sit in the middle. And somebody's got to sit in the back. I mean, I'm not against people sitting in the back. But I am against people that are not against them. But I'm against this. When somebody usually sits on the front and they start moving back closer and closer to the door, listen, there's something going on. You know that? They're getting closer to getting on their way out. But here, my friend, this young man is in a dangerous spot. And so we see this Sunday saint. But let's think about this Sunday saint here, because amongst this congregation, the Bible just names one here. And you'll notice in verse number 9, and you'll notice in verse number 12, that the Bible calls him a young man. Now the word for young man in verse number 9, it means a man from anywhere from the age of 20 to 40. But the word in verse number 12, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but my friend, the word in verse number 12 for young man is for a young man anywhere from the age of 8 to 18. And so you say, how old was he? I don't know how old he was, but the Bible says he was a young man. And I want to preach about this young man tonight, because you know the story that happens. He's sitting in a dangerous spot. He goes to church. He's alive and well when he goes in the sanctuary. He falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, what happens? He falls out. And when he falls out, he dies. But I tell you, that's not the end of the story, is it? Amen. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul comes down and he touches this young man that was once dead. But guess what? He's alive again. The Bible said he revived. And I want to preach a few minutes on this subject, on a youth revival. Amen. A youth revival. You see in this text, this youth revival isn't 10, it's not 15, and it's not 20. It's not even 5. But young people, you hear me tonight, they just one young man in this congregation that needed to be revived. And what that tells me is that God is as interested in one young person having revival as he is the whole youth group. And it's individual tonight. You can't worry about what your friends are doing. You can't worry about what people around you are doing. Hey, this is an individual thing tonight. And if you're going to have to, if you're going to have revival, it's going to have to get personal to you tonight. Notice three things about this young man. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 7, I want you to notice the young man resting. Amen. He's resting in verses 7 through 9. The Bible says that he fell into a deep sleep, is what verse number 9 says. This young man checked out. He is unconscious to what's taking place around him. His flesh has gotten the best of him, is what we'll see here. Young people, I would say this to you tonight. Don't let your flesh get the best of you. Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not to trust this flesh. We're not to let the flesh control
rule us. We're not let the flesh rule our life. We ought to surrender our flesh and our will to the will of God. And this young man, for whatever reason, all of a sudden he let his flesh take over and he went to sleep in the house of God. Amen. Now here's the question that comes to my mind. What was it that caused this young man to go to sleep? What was it that put him to sleep? Well, I think if you look at the text tonight, there are several things that we could say. I would say, first of all, it could have been the length of the sermon. Isn't that right? The Bible says in verse 7 that he continued his speech until midnight. Paul preached a long time. Let's just put it this way. Paul was a great preacher. Paul was the apostle. Paul had a great message. Amen. I'm telling you, Paul's been preaching for at least 6 hours, and he preached longer. Hey, that's a long sermon. Can I get an amen right there? Brother, listen, Paul had been preaching for a long time, and this young man, here's what happened to him. He got under the sound of Paul's voice, but my friend, he got used to Paul's voice. He was no longer focused on what the man of God was saying. I'm telling you, he went to sleep. It could have been the length of the sermon. And you got to be careful when you go to church that you don't get so used to the man of God's voice, that you don't get so used to his mannerism, that you don't get so used to his delivery, that you miss the message. Amen. I'm telling you, you better look beyond me and you better hear what God has to say to you. And you mark it down. God's got something to say to every one of us every time we come to church. The question is, are we listening? Amen. Do you hear his voice tonight? Have you let the flesh cause you to tune him out? Charles Spurgeon said one time, if we go to sleep during the sermon and die, there are no apostles to restore us. Isn't that true tonight? I'm telling you, some people could have John the Baptist for a pastor. It's not going to make a difference in their life. They've fallen asleep. They become numb to the things of God. They're dull of hearing. Amen. That's why they got to have somebody to entertain them. That's why they got to have somebody to get up and tell a bunch of stories and be Mr. Funny Man and be Mr. Comedy. I like to laugh in church, but I didn't come to see a comedy show, and I didn't come to perform. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, if you come to be entertained, you're going to be sadly mistaken. But I did come to hear the word of God. Amen. And some people come, hey, look up here. Some people get on their phone during church. Some people listen. You'd be amazed at people sitting in church on their cell phone while the man of God's preaching. Amen. I'm telling you, if that thing could blow up, I pray it'd blow up in your lap. Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to have more reverence for the house of God. You ought to respect the house of God more. You ought to have a greater appreciation for the word of God. You ought to put your cell phone up. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? And you ought to put your cell phone up and you ought to get your Bible out. Amen. You ought to bring an ink pen when you go to church and a piece of paper. Write a few things down. Say amen. Raise your hand during church when you get blessed. But you're not going to get blessed looking on the phone. You're not going to get blessed texting. Can I get a witness right there? You're not going to get blessed when you got your mind. You say, well, I don't like that. Doesn't make a hill of beans to me. I feel like preaching tonight. I'm telling you, if it hair lips all of hell, I'm going to pull the hammer back and preach because the only thing's going to help this generation is some old time Holy Ghost. Heaven sent heartfelt preaching. I'm telling you, if there's ever been a generation that needs preaching, it's the one I'm preaching to tonight. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, we're living in some different days. You know, I don't know if we're going to need a new church or not. Because the farther we go, the more narrow it's going to get. I've never seen a time when so many people want to change course and got their feelings and stacks so high on their shoulders. And doesn't take anything. I mean, a little bit of preaching to knock it off and knock them out. You ought to have more grace and grit about you than that. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, listen, it's not time to roll over. And I'm not being mean. I'm being honest is what I'm telling you. I've seen it and I know what's going on. I'm not an authority by what I'm telling you. But I know one thing. It wouldn't take 30 days for this church to go belly up. You understand that tonight? I don't care what's going on around here. I don't care what size the offering is. I don't care how many people showed up last Sunday. I'm telling you, less than 30 days, friend, this thing would fold like a tent. And the only thing standing between us and hell tonight is the word of God and the presence of God. And this generation needs to hear the same kind of preaching that you and I grew up under. If not, they're going to go to sleep. And I'm telling you tonight, the length of the sermon may have put him to sleep. Some people come to this place and you remember when you first came here? Some people have come here and thought, man, where's this place been all my life? Then after 10 years, sometimes even less, probably 8 is a good number, all of a sudden, they're not getting the help they used to be. I'm going to tell you, this place hadn't changed. The preacher hadn't changed. The singers, the church members hadn't changed. You can get used to hearing that voice till you don't hear his voice. The length of the sermon. It could have not only been the length of the sermon, but the lights in the sanctuary. Look what the Bible says. And there were many lights in the upper chamber. Why would the Bible highlight that? Where they were gathered together. I think a practical explanation would be because they lit it up because of the size of the congregation. The chamber obviously was full. This young man was sitting in the window, no doubt maybe for that reason, maybe for ventilation, to try to stay awake. But it was the lights in the chamber. You see, they didn't have electricity like we've got. And these lights put off heat, but they had candles in that chamber. And I'm simply drawing at typology tonight by saying that he sat in that light for so long. The heat that was coming off that light contributed to the heaviness that was coming over him. And there are some people, they have been given so much light. They have sat under so much light. They have seen so much light that they grew used to that light. I'm telling you, think about it tonight. If this church was taken out of my life and yours, no, we're not the only church standing for what's right. But I tell you, it's the place where God put me. It's the place where God put you. And what I need to do and what you need to do every day is get on our knees and thank the good God of heaven that he gave us a good place to go and a good place to worship. We got to suck our feelings up a lot of times, of the pastor included. And just go on and serve God and not be a big old overgrown baby. Can I get an amen right there? I'm telling you, some people, they want you to put a pacifier in their mouth every Sunday. They want you to burp them every Sunday. I'm telling you, always walking around with their feelings. I'm telling you, if you're a mature Christian, you with me tonight, you just got to grow up and suck it up and get over some things. Amen. Say, preacher, are you mad? No, I'm just preaching and I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm just preaching. People so sensitive nowadays when you say something, they want to know, well, wonder what he knows. I don't know anything, but I know what God put on my heart, and I know this much. It wasn't just to be beating my gums against the wind. I'm telling you tonight, sometimes God wants us to get off our little old feelings, and he wants us to get past some things and just go on and serve God. Is that right? Amen. I told my wife, I said, pray for me. The older I get, y'all get this way, the older you get, the less you care about things. You know, that's a good thing, but it could also be a bad thing, ain't it? So much light. Think about what God's let you hear in just 1 week last week. So much light. Could it be the lights put him to sleep? You remember when Jubilee, you look forward to it? And I think everybody does for the most part, but maybe somebody dreads it. Why would we dread days of singing and preaching? Why would we dread Sunday? Why would we dread Wednesday? I'll tell you why. Too much light. Could it be the ledge that he was sitting on? The Bible says here that he sat in a window. That's a dangerous spot. No doubt he might have been sitting there to get ventilation, to take something in, but the young man was sitting in a dangerous place, and it would not be long until he would be half in and half out, and a little bit later he would fall out, and when he would fall out, it would bring him to his death, and little by little that resting brought him to a dangerous spot. Do you realize that's what happens to people in church? Little by little they grow. The Bible said he went into a deep sleep and he slumped down. I mean, sometimes if you and I are not careful, wonderful. That's why we need preaching like that. That's why we got to be stirred. That's why we got to be challenged to knock us out of that sleep mode. I get in it, you get in it, but thank God for preaching. It'll knock you, it'll wake you up. That's what it'll do. Amen. But this old boy's falling asleep. He's half in, half out. Eventually, he's more out than he is in. You've seen people like that. And then it's not too long, but I mean in just a split second, he falls out. Hey, make your mind up. You're not going to fall out of church. Amen. Make your mind up. You're not going to fall out of this church. Make your mind up, hey, that you're going to be more in than what you are out. And if you're sitting in a dangerous spot, you need to get out of it. You need to make a move in your life. You need to be in a good, safe place under the preaching where you can be involved in what's going on. Isn't that right? Don't be half in and half out, because eventually you'll be all the way out. What keeps us awake? I wonder, what is it? Christians that sleep during a 1 hour sermon on Sunday, and it's amazing how they can stay awake early for lengthy sports events and hunting and fishing and ball games and etc. They'll stay awake late at night for concerts and for TV specials and for movies and for late night ball games. They'll sit up with anticipation, with bloodshot eyes just to get in, just to see the end, just to finish. They'll miss a little bit of sleep for some fleshly or carnal things, but when it comes to the house of God, oftentimes people look at their watch, they count the seconds, they look at the minutes. I don't know if that's you tonight. I'm just saying that's most of America today in our churches. If church goes way over, there's a weariness that comes in the flesh, but it ought not be that way. I'm telling you, this young man, the problem in his life was that he was sitting in a dangerous spot. Could it also be the life of service? Because the phrase young man also means servant. And there's no doubt this young man had been working. Young people, listen, it's a good thing to work. He had been busy. He had been serving. And he is no doubt tired physically. What I'm saying to you is we can't quit working. We can't quit being busy for God. Some people say, well, I've just been too busy. I need to back up. No, never back up. Always give God your best. Be busy serving God. Be involved in your local church. Be involved in what's going on. Be involved. You say, and I understand people have physical problems and things like that may hinder their life, but make sure that's what it is. I'm telling you, if you can go on for God, keep on going for God as long as you can, because that may give you longevity in life. Amen. But I'm telling you, don't get so busy serving God that you forget the main thing is that relationship and that walk with God. You can balance both. You don't have to give up serving God to be close to God. I'm telling you, you can walk with God and have a personal, a prayer life and a personal Bible reading time, and you can still be involved in work and serve God. I see the young man resting, but then secondly, notice tonight, I see the young man revived. I'm glad the story don't end in verse 9 with him dead. But thank God in verse 10 and 11, he's going to be revived. After the young man falls out, he would not have recovered had it not been for the church. The Lord used the man of God in verse 9 and the membership to help get this young man back where he needed to be. Do you realize that's who God uses in our life? Young people, that's who God uses in your life to keep us where we need to be at. And I see here about the man of God, I see the concern of the preacher in verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him. Paul was willing to stop his preaching ministry to help a young person who had fallen out. Paul was willing to go to where he was and to help him. And no doubt it must have meant something to this young man when he was revived to realize that it was the Apostle Paul, the one that he'd been listening to, the one that had been preaching to him, the one that was the great missionary. It must have meant something that Paul invested in this young man's life and came to where he was. And we see the concern of the preacher. And I want to tell you, a man of God is concerned about his congregation. We know the congregation doesn't belong to the pastor. He belongs to the Lord. We're just the under shepherd. But a real pastor will pray for his flock. A real pastor will pray for those who are in trouble. A real pastor will go to ones when he sees that they're in trouble. I'm telling you, if I go to somebody, it's not to beat up on somebody. It's out of love. It's out of concern. It's because I want you to stay in the right way. Do I know everything? Absolutely not. Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. But I do know this much. I know when the Holy Ghost lays somebody on my heart in prayer and says, go talk to them. Don't let them drift. You go give them a warning. You go help them get back in line. I mean, that is the responsibility of a pastor. We're to watch for people's souls. Amen. And when we see somebody drifting, don't get mad at the preacher for that. I'm telling you, I thank God. I look back through my life. I thank God for every time Brother Sammy Allen came and gave me a word. I thank God for every time Brother Stennett Blue came and gave me a word. I thank God for my pastor years ago who would come and say, hey, you don't need to go in that direction. You don't need to go that way. You need to listen to the man of God. We don't know everything. But I'll tell you something that is 100% across the board tonight. I've had people tell me this more times than I can remember, and it's never ended well. Have I ever been wrong? Absolutely. But when I went to people, I said, hey, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. You need to pull back in. And they've looked at me and they said, well, you're not the only one that knows God's will. Oh, I've had that said. Or they'll say something, and I'm talking about but they say, well, don't you think I can pray? Well, I know you can pray. But I'm telling you tonight, people don't believe this like they used to. But I'm still going to preach it anyway. People don't believe it like they used to. It used to be a time, I remember years ago, when a man of God came to you, it was serious business. I know he wasn't perfect, but if you had a prayer life, then I'll tell you, if he came to me, my preacher came to me a lot of times, and he gave me some words, and he'd say some things to me, and sometimes I thought I was right and thought he was wrong. But I'll tell you one thing, I knew if he came to me, I wasn't going to pull the trigger on nothing without going back to God and making 1,000% sure that I was right. And I'm going to tell you something, every time I went back to God, I found out one thing, that man of God wasn't wrong. Amen. God was talking to him, and he used it to salvage my life. And I'm telling you tonight, had it not been for Paul, this man would have died or would have stayed dead. You said it was God that performed the miracle. Oh yes, it was. But it was God's man. God used this man. And you mark it down, God still uses this man in our life to help us along this way. Amen. He put Paul there for a reason. And I see the concern of the preacher. I see the contact of the preacher. The Bible said he embraced him. I know it was a physical contact, but I thought about when I read this, how when I look back in my life, think about this in your life. Preachers have touched my life. Their handprint spiritually is on my life tonight. Brother Milford Biddle, his hands are on y'all's life tonight. They've touched your life. And in a day when people, you know, they want to downplay the role of a pastor. And let's face it, pastors are doing a pretty good job at it. Not wearing ties and coming in looking like they going to a concert. Trying to be Mr. Cool. Amen. I love every young person here. But you're not, and I commend you because I know this is your heart. You don't want your pastor to be cool. Amen. You're not looking for me to be your buddy. And I love every one of you, and you know that. And I cut up with you sometime, but you're not looking for me to be your BFF. Amen. I mean, you got enough big fat folks in your life. You don't need another one. Isn't that right? I mean, you're not looking for a BFF. You're not looking for me to be your buddy. You're not looking for Miss Gravely to be as cool as she can be. Amen. You're looking for somebody and appoint you to the cross. Amen. Somebody appoint you to Calvary. Somebody. And I'm not telling you I'm everything tonight. Oh, but I'm telling you this much. tonight. I thank God. I thank God 1,000 times over, Brother Laddie, for God's men and put their hand on my life and they helped me along the journey. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I feel God. I'm telling you, He's real. He's real. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. I've been ticked off at the devil for about a month anyway. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, friend, thank God for preachers and thank God for Holy Ghost, a spirit filled, a man of God that prays and walks with God. I thank God for how they've touched my life. I've heard a lot of people make fun of Brother Sammy down through the years. And for everyone that made fun of him, I never thought one of them was spiritual. Not a one of them. What about the comment of the preacher? Look at verse 10. Paul said this, "Trouble not yourselves," he told the congregation, "for his life is in him." The Bible said he was dead. And Paul said, "Trouble not yourself, his life's in him." You know what Paul's doing here? He's exercising faith on this young man's part. He's exercising faith for this congregation. They're in mourning, but Paul said, "Oh, don't y'all calm down a little bit." Well, don't you appreciate the times the preacher said, "Just calm down." Amen. Some of y'all need to calm down right now. Your blood pressure's getting up for a few comments I made earlier. Don't worry, it's going to get worse. Just hold on. Amen. People say, you can't preach like, I'm going to keep on preaching this way. Because I think people want to hear. I don't think people are as weak spiritually as what a lot of people. I seen a video the other day where a pastor was trying to give advice to other pastors, and basically what he was telling everybody is, now just don't preach this way and don't pray. I thought, man, you know, people want to hear the truth. Amen. People are not that weak as a whole. Amen. But people have bought into this ultra sensitive society, and I'm telling you, most people are not that way. They want to hear the truth. Amen. You didn't come to hear me just tickle your fancy, but you come to hear the word of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, this book still works. Amen. And I'm telling you, Paul, listen, he exercised faith and said, y'all calm down. He's not dead. He didn't give up on this boy when it looked like he was too far gone. You never give up on people, even when it looks like they're too far gone. You know, young people tonight, you're going to have your battles. But I tell you, y'all to strive for revival. Amen. Y'all strive for revival. You're going to have battles through these teenage years, but if you'll stay with God, you'll level out when you get a little bit older. You'll level out. You'll level out if you'll just stay with God. If you don't get your eyes on people, if you don't feel sorry for yourself, look up here, young people. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Don't sit around. Listen, getting out of church because how people treat you is absolutely no excuse. Are y'all with me tonight? Because, and hey, that's for adults too. Don't go down the road and cry and say somebody mistreated me down the road. I mean, listen, that's what daycares are for. Amen. This ain't Bible Baptist daycare. Y'all still with me? That's what playgrounds are for. Amen. Go get you a ambulance and let them doctor you up a little bit. Amen. But that's not what. Hey, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Don't go around and say, well, somebody hurt my feelings. No, get past feelings if you're going to serve God. I'm going to tell you something. I have had my feelings hurt, and I have hurt feelings. You just got to go on and serve God. Because if everybody you know does you wrong, the Lord never did you wrong. The young man revived. The young man rested. But notice the young man revealed. Look at verse 12. And they brought the young man alive. He's revealed. I see his escorts. It was the church that brought him back. And young people, listen to me. This young man, I don't know, he was alive, but he may have had some scars and bruises from that fall. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to have them. But you remember something, it's the church that brings people back. How many times have people got out of church and went off and said, well, you know, they blame the church. But when tragedy hits their home, it's amazing. It's not their buddies that show up, it's the church.
You know, there's not a person that's left Bible Baptist Church tonight that if they would swallow their pride, and that's what it is, not for us, between the Lord, if they'd humble themselves and walk back through these doors, there's not a person that's ever left this church at what they couldn't come back right now. You know why they're not here? Because they chose not to be. What are we supposed to do but go on and serve God? We can pray for people. We can love people. But I'm going to say this. When they're out in sin, you don't tell them what they're doing is okay. Amen tonight. I'm telling you, when they're out there living in sin, you don't pat them on the head and say it's okay, because it's not okay. You're not being a good Christian by doctoring up their sin or celebrating their sin. You pray for them. You love them. You be kind to them. You care for them. Amen. And if they'll come home, you with arms wide open. Isn't that right? Man, I tell you, there's people tonight that's left this church. It's out in sin. I wish so bad they'd come back, don't you? Miss Keith, you mentioned somebody the other day. It was last Sunday. We were standing out back here. I don't know if you remember this. We was talking. We wasn't even talking about people. We was talking about some work. And you said a name. And I'm going to tell you, that name has stayed on my mind all this week. And I wish they'd come back. 17 years they was in this church. And I wish they would come back and their children and their... And I wish their home would get back. Don't you wish that would happen? But we just have to go on. But I tell you what you can do tonight. You can make sure that you're not one of them. You stay in here. You stay with God. The most foolish thing you could ever do is do what they did. Because it would not be good for you. You stay in here. You stay in here. You stay in here all these days. And I noticed the evidence. You could look at this young man and tell he was alive. But look at the encouragement. Young people, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 12. The Bible says that last phrase, they were not a little comforted. Now, young people, look at me. I'll say this in closing. When this young man came back, just his presence, just the presence of that young man being back in that congregation encouraged the hearts of those people. And you being here, isn't it an encouragement to see all these young people, young adults? Amen. You three, well, there's four of you tonight, but sitting back there, Brother Tim, well, you're probably out of their age bracket, I reckon, aren't you? You three guys sitting back here, amen. I could call you the three wise men, or the three stooges, or the three blind mice, but at least you're here tonight. No, I'm telling you, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're not talking while I'm preaching, amen. I'm glad, I'm telling you something. You young men could be anywhere else tonight, but you're here. And that means something. I cut up, Williams, but you know I love you. It means something. Jonathan, it means something. Hayden, it means something. I mean, it means something that you are here. Spencer, it means something tonight. You might think sometimes that nobody pays any attention, but I'm telling you, you let one service go and there'll be a seat empty right there. You let a seat be empty right here. We notice that. I'm telling you, you let a seat be empty. We notice that. Amen. We notice it. When you're not here, you wasn't there Tuesday morning, or let's say it was Tuesday night of Jubilee, and you sit right over to the second on the first row, third seat. I saw you sitting there, and when we was singing that night, that seat was empty, and I said, well, she must be working tonight, and you was. But it means something. Ain't that right? It don't just mean something to this church. It means something to your parents that you're still here. You want to be a blessing to your parents, you live for God all the days of your life. You stay in church, it means something, Tucker, that you're here. Tonight, I want to say this in closing as they get us a song ready. The ordination will be about 10 minutes tonight. I wouldn't have preached this. I'd probably waited a week, but I had such a burden to preach this message. I was sitting in a prophet's chamber this week, and as soon as the Lord gave that to me, I knew I'd preach it this Sunday. Now, the devil wants to run all you young people. But I tell you what you ought to make it. I tell you what you ought to do tonight. You ought to all make a commitment to God that you're not going to let the devil get you. And you ought to all make a commitment to God that you're not going to let the devil divide you. Amen. And you parents, you make a commitment to God that you're not going to let the devil divide them. So how do you keep them from getting divided? I'll tell you how. When one of them comes complaining, you say, oh, hush at. Yeah, I thought I'd get that reaction out of them. When they complain, you say, oh, y'all shut up. It's probably rude, ain't it? But y'all hush at. Amen. It won't hurt you if somebody tell you that. We told our kids that when they was coming up. And one of them said, oh, my wife said, no, stop it right there. Don't even want to hear that. Right. Amen. Yeah. It might be harder for parents to swallow than some of y'all. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you why that's so good. You say, well, I think we all listen to our children. Don't listen to all that fussing. No. Don't y'all be doing none of it. Can I get an amen? God didn't get much, but don't listen to all that stuff. Don't encourage it. Just tell them be quiet and go on and serve God. They got to learn to work together. And don't ever let somebody be cast off to the side. Amen. I mean, if somebody don't like this boy right here, then I tell you what you do, Jackson. You make sure he gets pulled in with the rest of the crowd. Amen. Isn't that right? Just pull him in. Amen. I know a lot of people don't like Addie, but it's understandable, ain't it? I've been picking on her since she was 8 years old because she's so sassy. And kind of grew out of that. But you know what? Hey, if you don't like Addie, then here's what you do. You stick Addie right between her and you. Is that right? We got to teach them that. Or I'll tell you one thing. We have more problems we know to do with when they become adults. Amen. Tonight as we stand. Young people, you going to live for God tonight? Are you going to serve God? How about it tonight? You don't have to come, but if you need to come, you ought to come. You don't have to be a young person tonight. We just got to keep everything where it needs to be at. We need to pray for our young people. They get so much thrown at them today. I tell you, we really need to pray for them. They got so much thrown at them today. They surely need our prayers. If ever a generation needed it, they need it. And I appreciate every mom and dad raising your children in this type of atmosphere and trying to have the same burden. I pray for you. And tonight, you maybe as a parent, you need to come pray. I don't know. We're going to sing. You just obey God tonight.